Well, good morning again. My name is Deborah, a.k.a. Bumby, and I am your hostess this morning. Are there by chance any first-time callers who called in this morning that would like to say hello? Well, we are all family. There aren't any online prayer requests this morning, so I will read the order of the call. Just give me a moment. I lost my place. Sorry about that, you guys. Had a burping moment. Hang on a second. Alrighty, the order of the call this morning is as follows. Sister Julian will be reading the scripture. Lisa will be doing the declaration. First prayer, William. Hang on, I'm trying to do this by memory. Should have did that. Thank you for your patience. Sorry. First prayer warrior will be Carolyn. Second prayer warrior, excuse me. Yeah, first. Sorry. All right, let's try that again. Amen. Julia, Sister Julia will be doing the scripture. Lisa will be doing the declaration. First prayer warrior is Sister Carolyn. Sister Carol, excuse me. Second prayer warrior will be Erica. Third prayer warrior will be Dion. And closing us out today will be Tiffany. I will repeat that. Sister Julia will be reading the scripture. Lisa will be doing our declaration. Sister Carol will be first prayer warrior. Second prayer warrior will be Erica. Third prayer warrior will be Dion. And closing us out will be Sister Tiffany. If you haven't already done so, please place your phone calls on mute by using the standard mute feature or *6 as I pass the call to Sister Julia. God bless you.
Good morning, everyone that's on the line this morning. God bless y'all all. I've been reading John chapter 15, verse 13, 12, and 14. Verse 12, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Verse 13, greater love than hate no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Verse 14, ye are my friend if you do whosoever I command you. May the Lord have a blessing to this reading and hearing as done of his word as I pass the call. May God bless everyone on the line.
Thank you, Sister Julia. Good morning, everyone. God bless you. I love you all, and thank God for you. Thank you, Bubbly, for your greeting, and I understand about some things just not working out as planned. Nevertheless, our God, he is faithful. I am sharing something that truly is a heart share, something God has been dealing with me for a while, and I just believe he led me to share it with you. So I pray that it blesses you, and follow me to the end. The beginning might sound a little off or different than what we're hearing, but I promise you it'll end, I believe, well. So I'm Not Satisfied is the title, with the subtitle of Overflow. So I'm not satisfied. I'm not satisfied with where I've been. I know you've probably heard that song before. It's a part of a lyric in a song. I believe Josh McDowell, maybe William McDowell. I'm not satisfied with where I've been, nor am I satisfied with where I am. So follow me. Stay with me. I can already hear somebody saying, but the word says to be content with whatever state you find yourself in. And, yeah, we're not talking about the state like I'm cool to be in California. That's not it. No, I'm content with God. I'm content with who God is. But I am not satisfied with life to the extent of I'll get there in a minute. Being satisfied is very, very different than being content, and I want to just talk about that for a minute. So don't misunderstand me what I'm saying. I'm not satisfied with where I'm at in my personal, my physical, or particularly my spiritual life. I'm grateful. I'm super thankful. I know that God is doing some great things in my life, and I know that he has some great things in store for me, but I know that there's so much more to me, and guess what, to you too, than what I see or what you see. There's so much more to our great God to experience. So I believe and I know that there is more yet to be revealed. So I can clearly say with excitement and expectation and without fear, God, I want more. I want more. The Bible definition of contentment is a state of mind in which one's desires are confined to his lot wherever he or it may be. Contentment does not mean I settle for or just accept things the way that they are. My desires, my dreams, my hopes, my passions, they're not confined or constrained to where I am or what I have or what I'm striving to be. I'm not coveting somebody else's stuff. I'm not trying to be somebody else. I'm just not trying to miss receiving everything that God has prepared and promised for me. Everything that he has earmarked, everything that God has earmarked for me specifically, I just want it. So the Bible Dictionary defines satisfied as having the desire fully gratified, made content. So to gratify one's wishes or desires to the full extent, to supply possession or enjoyment till no more is desired. Imagine that. Being so satisfied you don't even desire anymore, like the cup's so full you cannot contain and it's running over and you're like, enough, God, enough, okay. I'm not talking about material things, because pursuing money and things never satisfies. We can never really have enough, really. And then the word talks about if you have so much, you're really like worried, stressed up all night trying to keep people from getting it and trying to keep from losing it. 1 Timothy 6:9-10 says, those that desire to be rich fall into temptations, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. So it's through this craving that some wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pains. They were lured away, didn't even realize it, from the faith. Can you imagine that? Because of money, because of the love of money, because chasing after the dollar, because trying to get the grind on, whatever you call it. And then they were led into many unnecessary sorrows. But, I mean, unnecessary sorrows are nothing compared to being led away from our God. So even the richest man that lived, King Solomon, he said that all the stuff that man works to acquire or gain is all vanity. It's all meaningless. You can see that when, he had the proper perspective, when we have the proper perspective and when we can see what's really important, that our lives really don't consist in the things that we have or possess, and that stuff doesn't mean as much to us as it should, that's a proper perspective, and that we really are focused on what is important, then we'll know that we're not satisfied. Well, at least I can say I'm not satisfied. God is the only one who can truly satisfy a longing soul. Not being satisfied pushes me to not be content with mediocrity, to not settle, to not be okay with the things being just the way they are. It also forces me not to be comfortable with the familiar. It fuels my hunger and my thirst for God in this dry and weary land. And the more that he reveals and gives to me, the more that I want to experience and receive from him. So here's another definition of satisfied. It explains where I'm going with this. To supply fully what is necessary and demanded by natural laws, as to satisfy with rain the desolate and waste ground. Job 38. So if you have any doubt about our mighty God and his sovereignty, read Job chapters 38 through 41. You'll see God tore into Job when he asked him, where were you when I created and orchestrated everything, basically? In 38 and 8, when I shut the seas with doors when it issued from the womb, he asked in 40 and 2, shall the one who contends with the Almighty correct him? He who rebukes God, let him answer. God demanded Job to answer. Like, who are you? Come on now. Speak up. I need you to answer because I don't even think you have the answer. Job answered in 42, 1 through 6. He said, I know that you can do everything. Don't we say that? And that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. You asked, who is this who hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore, I have uttered what I did not understand. There's some things we just don't know about God, but we speak as if we understand him fully. Things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. Man, listen, please, and let me speak. You said, I will question you, and you shall answer me. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see you. Therefore, I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Listen, Job had an aha, illuminating, eye-opening experience with God. He had only heard about him before, how he was able, but now he was able to clearly see beyond the natural who God truly was. It's something about experience being a great teacher. We can speak about things we have no idea of, and it's only filtered through the lenses of our lives and filtered through the things we've experienced. And so, if you will, it's kind of tainted by our own biases. But Job, he said, I spoke of things which I did not understand. I had no knowledge of it at all. I repent, God. So I can honestly say that my wants, my wishes, my desires, my dreams, my passions, and my aspirations have not been fully realized or materialized. It's not until we enter into a relational experience with the living God of the Bible that we will be able to see that there is so much more to him that we'll ever know or that we'll ever be able to experience. I want more, more of him. God, I'm not satisfied. Here's another great definition: to be free from doubt, suspense, or uncertainty, to cause the mind to rest in confidence by asserting the truth, as to satisfy oneself by inquiry. I'm striving to be satisfied, free of doubt, no anxiety, confident and at peace in my mind, relying on the truth of God's word, that he, God, that begun a good work in me, he shall perform it unto the day of Christ Jesus. Truly, you and I are a work in process and progress, under construction. So what does not being satisfied have to do with overflow? The word overflow in the Old Testament is defined to flow over, to fill, to float, to overwhelm. It's used to describe the waters of the Red Sea flowing over the Egyptian army, delivering the Israelites from the hands of their enemy. Or when the prophet Jeremiah felt overwhelmed or burdened at the destruction of Jerusalem, he wept so much. Its devastation was all-encompassing and consuming. However, in the New Testament, when we hear the word overflow, we think about abundance, increase, and more stuff. We often think about the pressed down, shaking together, and running over blessing that we won't have room enough to receive. We ask for God to enlarge our territory and capacity for increase, but we pray or declare it in private because we don't want people to think that we're seeking after prosperity or that, you know, we're latching on to the prosperity preachers or the prosperity gospel. Unfortunately, we've gone from one extreme to the other, thinking that our God doesn't want us to prosper. Well, guess what he does? It's just not to be the priority. It is God that gives us the ability to obtain wealth. That's absolutely in the scripture. Wealth and riches are in my house, the word says, and money answers all things. I know we've got some questions, so if you've got some questions, yeah, some money will answer some of those things. It'll settle some matters. If the wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous, what are we going to do when he puts it in our hands? And God is not going to give us something that's going to destroy us, so he knows we're not ready yet. He knows that we can't handle it. And if he gave us something, an overflowing blessing, some of us wouldn't serve him, truth be told. Some of us wouldn't depend on him. Some of us wouldn't trust him. Some of us wouldn't be praying. Some of us would be our own self-sufficient gods, little g, in our own eyes. On the other hand, some of us, because of our past, can be trusted with the true riches of God. And the true riches really isn't monetarily. We are told in Matthew 6:33, we hear it a lot on the call, to seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all those things will be added unto us. In addition to receiving his kingdom, what is his kingdom? Luke 12:23 says that God, it's his good pleasure to give us this kingdom. Romans 14:17 says, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, or it's not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. It is God's good pleasure to give us the kingdom, to give us righteousness, to give us peace, to give us joy in his Spirit. So I mentioned King Solomon earlier in 1 Kings 3:1-14. When God told him he could ask for anything he wanted, Solomon showed love for the Lord by walking according to his instructions, given to him by his father David. And so the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream, and he said, ask for whatever you want me to give you. And Solomon answered, you have shown great kindness to my father David because he was faithful to you. Now, Lord, my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David, but I am only a little child and do not know how to carry out my duties. Your servant is here among you, the people you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to count or number. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours? Now, isn't that something? He asked for discernment. He asked for wisdom to govern God's people. He didn't say my people. He said these people of yours, they don't belong to us. The Lord was pleased with Solomon that he asked for this. So God said to him, since you have asked for this and not long life or wealth for yourself, nor have you asked for the death of your enemies, but for discernment and administering justice, I will do what you have asked. I will give you a wise and discerning heart. God, give us a wise and discerning heart so that there will never have been anyone like you, nor will there ever be. Moreover, I will give you what you have not asked for, both wealth and honor, so that in your lifetime you will have no equal among kings. Can you imagine that? And if you walk in obedience, get this, if you walk in obedience to me and keep my decrees and commands as David your father did, I will give you long life. My. Because of Solomon's love and desire to please God, he received more than he asked. He wanted to know how to rule well what God had entrusted to him, his people. Luke 16:11-13 says, so if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. And it's never been about the stuff. It's never been about the money. We've been tricked and deceived and led in that path. So living in the overflow is absolutely for everyone, but some of us will have to shift our perspective on what it means to live in the overflow, abundant life. Remember God, he told his children he was going to lead them to a land flowing with milk and honey, to accomplish wholeness, to be so full that we are overflowing, spilling over with the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, kindness, meekness, goodness, self-control. Just like Jesus, feeling the virtue flowing from him when that woman touched the hem of his garment, his healing virtue overflowed and connected with her faith, and as a result, she got healed. She was healed. Not only was she healed, but she was made whole. Her expectation was exceeded. That's what our God does. So here I am, God, not asking for more stuff. God, I want more of you, more of your manifested presence in my life, more of the anointing, more of your glory revealed in and through me. God, I want to prophesy to whoever has an ear to hear. I want to speak and also interpret tongues so that your body of believers may be encouraged, equipped, and edified. God, I want to teach, speak, and preach with boldness, clarity, and authority under the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I want to lay hands, God, on the sick and see them recover. Cast out demons in your name. Speak by faith things that be not as though they were and see them manifested. I want to dream dreams and see visions. I want to prophesy and speak life to dead things and see them come alive before my eyes. God, I want to tread upon serpents and scorpions and not be harmed. I want a fresh wind, God, an Azusa fire revival to hit your church, for others to see my good work, God, but to give you glory in heaven. I want to be used by you. The amazing thing of what I just said in that little bitty short span is that God already promised those things to us. He said those signs and wonders would follow us, those that believe. God, I'm not satisfied with what I've sacrificed to you. I want an overflowing abundance of more of you as I pass the call.
Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning to say thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Father, for keeping us at night while we slept. We thank you for waking us up this morning and allowing us to be in our right state of mind, God, allowing us to have all working, our working limbs, just allowing us, Lord, to be here in the land of the living. For that, God, we are thankful. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for today, for Sunday. We thank you for the days to come this week. And God, we thank you for your mercy and grace. God, we thank you for your protection in all of our traveling to and fro. We thank you for your protection in all we do in the grocery store. God, wherever we go, we just ask that you place your protection all about us. We thank you, God, for just keeping us safely asleep and sound through the night. And we thank you, Father, for the DV call that we call in on a daily basis, God, and where we're able to unite and hear the declarations and prayers of others. And, Lord, just to be able to just say thank you and praise you for giving us this forum. God, we thank you and we praise you. We are so content in your decisions in our life. And though, God, we may not always understand those decisions, we thank you, God, because we know that you have our very best interests at heart. Lord, we are trusting you and thanking you also for the peace that surpasses all understanding. For we know, God, that the plans that we have for our life are not what's necessarily going to happen. You said, Father, in your word that you knew us before we were in our mother's womb. So if you knew us before we were in our mother's womb, God, you had all of our plans, all of everything that we had to do, everything that we were set to do, God. You saw it before it even came. And Father, we thank you. Though sometimes some of the plans may be hard to swallow, some of them may be, God, we don't understand, but God, I trust you and I thank you and I praise you for imparting in each and every one of us the understanding. I thank you for encounters and interactions on today, God, that will give us the opportunity to show others the love that you have instilled in our spirits, the love that we receive from reading the Word of God, the love that we receive from interacting with our brothers and sisters in Christ, God. We thank you so much, Father, for the hope that you give us and for your help. And just, Lord God, for ordering our steps. Because, God, if you didn't order our steps, there's no telling what we would be into, what we would be doing. I thank you, Father, for the freedom to serve you, the freedom to serve you without dictatorship, God, just to love you and to let you know how grateful I am, how grateful we are, Heavenly Father, for all the things that you give us. Even, God, through our trials and tribulations, we're grateful. And at times it can seem rough and it feels like we can't get through it. But I know, God, when you're getting towards the very end, they get a little heavier and then comes the great outcome. So, God, we thank you and we serve you on today. We thank you, God, for our neighbors and our neighborhoods. And, God, just ask that you would use each and every one of us mightily to be witnesses, to stand up right before the people that we interact with in the grocery store, And just give us, Lord Jesus, an unselfish love for all, a love that you have, God, the love that is incomparable. I thank you and I praise you, Father, for this Sunday so that we can go and minister with our church family. We know, God, that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. We thank you and we praise you on this beautiful day. And, God, I just ask that you would just bless Sister Julia's cousin. Bless Sister Julia, Lord Jesus, with her allergies. Bless Dondria and her family that are going through bereavement, Lord Jesus, because we all know that that's hard. That's a hard pill to swallow. Also, God, I would ask that you could just continue to touch Diane Templeton's family. And Lord Jesus, if I forgot anyone else, I know that you are God all by yourself. You need absolutely no help, and that you know all about each and every person on this line who may not have even requested prayer. God, I ask that you meet their need. Any unspoken prayer requests, Lord, anything that I may have neglected, anything I may have missed, God, I trust and I know that you will work it out. I thank you, Father, for doing just great things in our lives and in our families and just doing great things for each and every one of us individually, Heavenly Father. I thank you for being obedient and waking up and getting on the call, God, because I didn't know I was supposed to pray, but I'm always ready to pray. So, Lord, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, for just the wisdom that surpasses all understanding. I thank you, Father, for just the joy that you have implanted in my spirit a little over a week, and that I don't have to worry with depression. I don't have to worry with worry, God. I thank you for the change that you've given me in my life, and I ask, God, that you would use me and others to be able to spread the gospel to those who don't know it, to be able to interact with others, to be able to show that God kind of love, that agape love towards others, God. We thank you. We thank you, Father, for the little things that we don't even give you credit for, God, because everything that we have is from you. I thank you, God, for my eyeballs, God. I thank you for being able to walk. I thank you, God, for just everything that you give. I thank you for our transportation, Heavenly Father, just for the decisions, God, that are great decisions that you make for our life. God, for that I'm so thankful. I thank you for just so much and for the peace, God. And just, Lord, just that you putting your word for us not to be weary in well-doing, because in due time, if we don't faint, that we shall reap. So God, let those who are going through something, let those who are up against a wall or feel up against a wall, God, let them know that you are in the midst of each and everything that they do. And thank you, Jesus, for memory. I ask for the young lady that sings, I can't remember her name right now. Lord, she's also dealing with allergies. I ask that you would touch her right now in the name of Jesus. But God, not only touch her, encourage her and allow her to know that sometimes things happen, allergies. We have sore throats and things, but she is blessed with a beautiful gift, God. Give her the courage. Give her the strength. Give her the will to want to go forward, even with the allergies, God, to do what it is that you have given her to do. And just to have faith that you're going to see her through any and everything that she may go through. And to those, God, who may be feeling like life is just getting too heavy, also for them to understand that you said in Isaiah 59 and 19 that when the enemy comes in like a flood, that you, God, you and the Spirit of the Lord would lift up a standard against them. And God, I'm asking you on today to lift up a standard against the enemy that is affecting your people, God. Lift up a standard against the enemy who is dividing families and causing strife and just causing ugly and ungodly things to happen. We rebuke you, devil, in the name of Jesus. You have no power in the lives of saints. I thank you and I praise you, God, for being a believer. And I know that in the name of Jesus that all well will take place on today and every day. We thank you, Father, for being who you are. We love you. We know that you can never be duplicated. We know that you are omnipresent and you are the one and only true living God. This is my prayer as I pass the call.
Most gracious Heavenly Father, I just want to continue in that same vein of giving you thanks and praise for this day. God, we just love you and we're just so happy, God, that we're able to call you Daddy, that we are able to bring our request to you, Father God. And you said that if we, whatever we ask in your name, Lord God, that you will grant us. So we just thank you today. My prayers today are for our families, Lord God, for our unsaved loved ones, Lord Jesus. Father, we just thank you for the ultimate relationship, for the relationship between you and the church, Lord God, that serves as an example for us of how we should love and how we should be, Lord God. We say all the time on the call to be the Jesus that we want to see, Lord God. So we just thank you for filling us with your Holy Spirit, allowing us, Lord God, to be ruled by the Holy Spirit, that we sacrifice our needs, our wants, our desires, Lord God, and that we let the Holy Spirit rule, that we might love like you love, treat others as we want to be treated, Lord God, but more importantly, that we might treat them like you treat us, Lord God, that there's no rememberings of past and wrongdoings, Lord God, that we're able to forgive like you forgive us. Father God, touch our unsaved loved ones today. Those that do not know you, Lord God, help us to walk in such a fashion that they see you in us and that they're not satisfied. Lord, I thank you for that declaration that went forth this morning. Father God, I just ask that you help us to witness to those around us, Lord, our coworkers, those that are right there in the household with us, Lord God, that we aren't the ones that are causing strife, that we aren't the ones that are causing confusion, Lord God, because you are a God of order. Lord God, we thank you for what you bring together, let no man put us under. And any relationship that we're in, Lord God, any familiar relationship, our marriage relationship, Lord God, you put that together. So we just ask that not even us, that we're not the man, Lord God, that tries to cause division, Lord, but that we follow your word and your instructions, that wives, Lord God, will submit to their husbands, that husbands will love their wives as you love the church, and that they will submit to you so that the wives can easily submit to them, and that we can be the helpmeets that we are called to be. Lord, those that are to be married, Lord God, I just ask that you give them a peace and a comfort, Lord God, that you give them discernment as they navigate through the dating world, Lord, and just be able to be comfortable and confident in their singleness, that they're able to dedicate their lives to you until you put that perfect person in front of them, Lord God. Father, we thank you for our children. We just lift them up to you, God. We just ask that you continue to protect them and keep them, Lord God. We know that there's evil in this world that are trying to attack their minds. Protect their eye gates, Lord God. Protect their hearts. Protect what they hear. Help us, Lord God, as parents, to just do what we can to of protection here on earth, Lord God, but we know that you have them in the spirit realm. So we just give you thanks and praise for their safety, for their protection. And Father God, just cover those families who are going, Lord God, bereavement, that are going through sickness and disease, Lord God, that are in the hospitals and the nursing homes, Lord God, that keep those under hospice care, Lord, just Lord, we know that you are a comforter. We know that you are a healer and you are a way maker, Lord God. So we just thank you for going into those homes, going into the hospitals, Lord God, that your spirit might rest on their hearts and give them the peace that passes all understanding, Lord God. Father, I just ask that you touch our neighbors and, again, those that we have the pleasure of interacting with, and that it is always a pleasure because when they see us, they see you. Father God, I thank you for declare victory. I thank you that your word goes forth every single day, Lord God. Help us to continue to stay focused on you, to continue to do those things that you have called us to do. Help us, oh God, to always have a yes in our heart, always have a yes in our spirit, Lord God, that we might be able to grow in you, that we might be able to perform the miracles and that you said that we would be able to perform, Lord God. Thank you, oh God, for just the power and the life in your word. Thank you, Lord God, that you reveal to us your many mysteries, Lord God, as we continue to seek you, that you continue to answer, that you continue to give us answers, Lord God. So just help us to always stay connected, to stay before you, to put those things that we don't understand before you, Lord God. And as Sister Carol said, that we're not worrying, Lord God, because you said not to worry, not to have anxiety, Lord God, and that if you would clothe the grass in the field, Lord God, why wouldn't you do the same for us, Lord? So we just thank you. I thank you, God, today for your peace, for your love, for your comfort. God, thank you for today being a day that most of us will go and worship you. Help us, God, to go with the right mind and the right heart and the right spirit that we might go and be able to do just that, Lord God, and to just be filled with your Holy Spirit so that we might go throughout the week and continue to serve and please you. Father, I thank you again just for this day, for your sovereignty, Lord God, for your just your awesomeness and your wonder, Lord God. I love you. I thank you and I praise you as I pass the call to the next victor.
So, Lord, we just come thanking you. This is the day that you have made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Glorious God, we thank you for allowing us to come before your throne boldly, giving thanks for the privilege of coming into your presence with our petitions and our prayers, Heavenly Father, for on behalf of your children. Lord, you've heard the prayers, and we are trusting and we are believing with expectancy that you know the situations and will answer our prayers. Lord, you said in your word to not worry about anything, but instead to pray about everything. For God, with nothing shall be impossible with you. Thank you, Lord, that we can tell you what we need. We can tell you what we want, our desires. Lord, we just thank you that we can stand on your promises as you cover us with your protection and your provision. Thank you, Lord, for fighting for us. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy and your grace. And we thank you for your favor in this season. Lord, we thank you now in advance because we believe you are an awesome God. Lord, we excel and we are trusting in you, Lord, as we walk away from temptation, as we walk away from depression, Lord, and the strongholds, Lord, in our lives that the enemy tries to place on us, Lord. We just pray, Lord, that we will continue to trust in you and to walk in your word, Heavenly Father. And we just thank you, Lord, that we can be free from the stress of this world, and we can be free from worry, and we can be free from shame in your name, Lord. And, Lord, we're just encouraged now, and we will press on in the name of Jesus, Lord. And we declare and decree your blood covering over us today that we shall live and not die. We decree and declare, Lord, that you are our God, and we are your people. And, Lord, we will forever give you the honor and the praise and the glory that is due unto you, Lord. And, Lord, we just stand and we just stand in expectancy, Lord. We just stand waiting on your promises, Lord. We just stand, Lord, not giving up because you are our God and you are an awesome God and you have the last word. You have the final say. You know what you have planned for us in the name of Jesus, Lord. And we just ask, Heavenly Father, that you just place a hedge of protection around us as we go throughout our day, Lord. Lord, we just pray and take authority, Heavenly Father, over Satan, Lord. We take authority over this day, Lord, in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray that this day will be prosperous, Lord. And we speak to every mountain of fear, Lord. And we speak to every mountain of discouragement, Lord. We speak to every mountain of stress in our lives, Lord, in every mountain of depression, in every mountain of lack and insufficiency. And we say, Lord, that it be removed and cast into the sea in Jesus' name, Lord. And we speak to this day and we call it blessed, Lord. And, Lord, we just ask that you will cover us, Lord. And we declare that we serve a mighty God. And today we will do exceedingly and abundantly in everything that you ask of us, Lord. Lord, you are the name above all names, Lord. You are Lord forever, and there is no one like you, Lord. Lord, you give us authority and power, Lord, to rebuke whatever that is not good and right in our lives, Lord. And we just cry out to you, Lord, that we are not satisfied with the way things are, Lord, and we want to be better. We want to do better, Lord. Lord, we want to live the life that you have planned for us, Lord. And Lord, you say in your word that you have plans to give us hope and a future, Lord. And so let it be so according to your will in the name of Jesus, God. Lord, we have faith that we will take our cities back, that we will walk the cities with love, Heavenly Father, that
everyone that will be saved, that everyone will know the love of God in the name of Jesus, Lord. Lord, we just thank you, Lord. You are a God. You are a mighty God. You are a holy, righteous, and loving, kind God. And we just thank you on this morning, Heavenly Father. And as we begin to take our phones off of mute, Lord, we just want to scream out. We want to roar out the love of you, God. We want to cry out to you, Lord, that you take over our lives, that we surrender all to you in the name of Jesus, Lord. Lord, we just thank you that we can come to you, God, with our situations and with our concerns and with our problems.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, God, how we love
the
you,
Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
You are thank you,
Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you,
Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Because you worthy of all the praise, Lord. There is none like your God. There is none above
you. The ability to speak your word, God.
The government, God, that lies in
change, God. The things will be settled, God, in earnings that they have already never put in our back. God, we thank you for the ability to bind those things up in things, God. Yes, God, we bless you. Help us to stay jarring you, God. That we can do all things through you, God. God, you've never lost a case, God. Never, ever have you failed, God.
You are great and greatly to be
you
proud
are
of.
God.
And we love you. We bless your holy name.
God, speak to our spirit right now. Encourage our hearts, God. Lift the spirit of heaviness, God, because it's coming to distract us, God, and get us off purpose. God, we thank you.
Never be duplicated. God, we thank you.
God, we thank you. God, for your great and exceeding promises. And we
thank
you, God, to believe.
Thank you, God. We bless you.
Thank you. We bless you.
There's nothing else to say
Hallelujah.
But
thank you, Jesus.
So now, Lord, we just say thank you for hearing our prayers on this morning, Lord. We thank you for feeding us your word this morning, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that we have come to you. And we thank you, Lord, that you have woke us up and that we are on the right path, Lord. And we just thank you for the encouraging time we spend together, Lord. Take us and love us and serve and use us as you would have us to you, that you would use us in a mighty way in the name of Jesus, Lord. We surrender all to you today, Lord. We thank you that you are able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask. Lord, you are a perfect God. You are a loving God, and we thank you on this day, Lord. We bless everyone on this call. We bless our lives. We bless our families. As we go into love, life, and victory, Lord, that the discussion, Lord, will just elevate us to be better, to do more, to love harder, and not to give up. In Jesus' name I pray, amen, as I pass the call.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Declare Victory. Once again, my name is Deborah, a.k.a. Bubbly, and I am your hostess this morning. By chance, are there any new callers that may have joined the call after we got started and didn't get a chance to say good morning? Would you like to say good morning now?
Good morning, it's Rhoda.
Oh. Hey, morning, bestie. I was just about to say, if there are any victors that didn't get a chance to say good morning, this is your time. Good morning.
Good morning, Bubby. This is Tiffany. Good morning, everyone.
Hey, Tiffy.
Good morning, Bubby. Good morning, family, Misty.
Good morning, Misty.
Good morning, family.
I'm sorry, good morning. I heard two people say good morning. Who was that?
Ollie, good morning, family.
Good morning, Ollie.
Morning.
How you doing?
Good, how are you? Good morning.
Sister Carolyn, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Sister Carolyn. And please forgive me because that you were supposed to be the person who was supposed to be praying this
morning. Good morning, Jamila.
Carol, who jumped in.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
Good morning, Jamila.
Good morning, y'all. I couldn't get my phone off mute, bub.
Hey. Hey, Sister Dion.
Hey, Sugar Plum.
Good morning, okay, Prayer Warriors.
Hey, good morning, Diamond Gill. How you doing?
Good morning.
I'm just excited in Jesus this morning to hear y'all sounds this morning.
Amen.
Good morning, Sanai J. Good morning, everyone.
Hey, Sanai J. How are you?
Hey, Sanai J.
Yes, I'm still out here. Today's the last
prayer
day.
Woman.
Amen. Is there anyone else who would like to say good morning?
Good morning, Miss LaTanya.
Hey, good morning, LaTanya.
Good morning.
Anyone else that would like to say good morning? Well, amen. We hope you have been blessed by the call this morning. I know I have. And hopefully you'll be able to stay on for the remainder of the call as we walk into the love, life, and victory portion of the call. Sister Lisa, my God. God bless you. That's it for me for right now. Just God continue to bless you and for all to be walking to God's satisfaction and his overflow, whatever that may be. So I just say thank God for you allowing me to host and greet with you this morning. You all have a super phenomenal, awesome day in Jesus. As I pass the call to Sister Lisa, God bless you all.
Amen. Thank you, Bubbly. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So good morning. How does Elder EK say it? Good morning. Great morning. God morning. Praise God for all of you. Thank you, Bubbly, for being a awesome host as you are. And for Julia and that scripture, and for Carolyn, I believe it is, or was, and Erica and Tiffany and whoever else prayed, thank you so much for those awesome prayers. Just appreciate you all so much. And all of you that called in or participated in any way, thank you. Thank God for you. It's so much better to receive a thank you from God, but it's just nice to be appreciated. So I just want you to know that I appreciate all of you being a part of my life. Amen. Hopefully the declaration was not hard to follow, and I pray that it blessed someone. Do we have any questions, comments, need clarification?
Nope. I need clarification, honey. You want to go get it. Yes.
Amen.
You just make ready to work and tell Tanya to mute her phone. That's you back there, Tanya.
Oh, is that her doing that? What's she doing?
Building a house.
Oh, she's getting ready for an event. That's right.
That's not me.
That was you. You be back there building.
No. Oh, it wasn't me. I promise. But I'm going back on mute now.
But that's not my sister talking
now. Not that Tanya. I'm talking about Tanya Lisa Porter, sister Tanya.
Sorry. I don't even know. Oh, okay. She did it. Hello?
We still hear you, Sugar.
Oh, okay. I was like, oh, I got cut off. Okay, so what happened to Dion? Where'd she go? You still there?
I'm right here.
Okay. It just got quiet all of a sudden. Like, I guess it should be, right? You get alarmed when it's quiet and you don't hear the stuff going on in the background. Okay, so does anybody have any comments about the declaration? No?
Yeah, that was a tall order. You know, that provokes silence sometimes. Be like that.
And it's totally okay, and we don't have to stick around and try to belabor it or talk about it. Maybe, not maybe, it's an opportunity for us to be a little introspective. Can I ask a question? Is anybody satisfied with where they are? Is anybody on the call that can honestly say that they're satisfied?
Sister Lisa, this is Bubbly. I want to answer the question, but I had a question before you asked the question. So can I ask my question first?
Absolutely.
Okay. I think I wrote it down correctly. You said, could you expound a little bit more on what you were saying, being satisfied is different from being content?
Mm-hmm. So if you just look at the definitions that I read from the Bible, and not necessarily going to Merriam-Webster or none of them, but the Bible definition for contentment is a state of mind in which one's desires are confined to his lot wherever he may be. So to the extent of where, like right where I'm at right now, I'm not striving or to the extent of being covetous or being mad with my state that I'm in. I'm not like jealous about other people being further along than I am. I'm okay with me. That's being content. It's a mindset, but it confines your mind to the now. And so when I say I'm not satisfied, I'm striving for more than what I presently see. And it's just not in the material, or it's primarily not the material. So not being satisfied leaves you longing for more. It leaves you pressing towards reaching to get from where you are to where you know God, for me, has me to get to and go. And for all of you, whether we know it or not or want to look at it or not. We're going from faith to faith and from glory to glory. He is always advancing, and even though, how can you have a moving God who's everywhere at the same time, yet he's yet moving? My God.
Hey, Lisa.
Amen.
Can I say this too?
Yes, go ahead.
So, like, the difference between satisfied and content are emotion and logic.
That's right? Good, Deanna.
Satisfaction requires that your emotions be gratified. Contentment means that your understanding is satisfied.
Yeah, that's good.
Can I say
what
he
said too, Lisa?
Yes. That's
good. That made me think, because, you know, God will give us the desires of our heart. So for me, that question, Bubbly, and I'm not trying to jump in on you, but for me, if I'm not asking God, if that makes any sense, for what I really, really want, then I will be dissatisfied when I don't get it, if that makes any sense. So I can say that today I am satisfied with where I am in this part of my walk. I'm satisfied. I don't compare myself, and I don't, like you said, look at what someone else has or desire what they have or what I may think. But it took me a process to get to this place, because I will be real transparent. At 48 years old and being retired, I was beating myself down for what I thought I should have, could have, would have been at this point, but not anymore, because God has clearly given me the okay that right here, right, I'm good, and I'm satisfied with this part, if that makes any sense. So thank you.
Absolutely, it does. Amen. Thank you, both of you, Dion and Dee Dee. The definition, it kind of blew my mind, and it's a little deep, probably more than I can explain or expound, and I wish I could explain it how I feel it. But the Bible definition about being content is that state of mind which deals with our emotions and our feelings, in which one's desires are confined. So they're like imprisoned, if you will. They're stuck, stagnant. They're contained. And unlike satisfied, not being satisfied, it's like there is just more. There, you know, there's more. So, and that comes from the understanding for me, and tying it into the word, the logic of God's word. Even though I don't understand it, because I don't have to, and I never will understand everything, I just know within me, because of the Spirit of God inside of me, calling me into deeper, that there is more. So I can't be satisfied with being right where I'm at. That not being satisfied is going to push me and press me to go deeper, to go further, to study more, to reach, to grasp, to not be okay right here. But be content to the extent of where I'm not frustrated and I'm not sad about it and I'm not depressed about it and I'm not, you know, stressed out about it. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Okay, amen. Amen.
Good morning,
thank you,
lady.
Good morning, family. Let me turn down this music I got on. It's Miss D. Good morning.
Hey, Miss D. You in there praising, having a praise praise party or worship
good morning,
party.
Sister. Hello?
Hello, yes.
Okay, I don't know if you can hear me or not. I have music on in the background. Good morning, it's Miss D.
Good morning.
And I agree with the contentment being a state of mind, because when I'm not content in my mind, I am running on my own self-will, and things around life get to me. And I begin to stress and have anxiety, which I already have. So it causes additional anxiety. And in discontentment, I become frozen. I really can't move. I don't make good decisions. I kind of stay in place where I am. And that frozenness really causes me to stress and be anxious. But also in being satisfied, in the being content, it causes for me to be calm, even in the midst of making decisions or striving to continue to hear the voice of the Lord so I can continue to walk the road he's put me on. I didn't even know how much satisfaction comes from walking this walk. It comes in increments. I don't see it every day. But right now, I am in a place of satisfaction with a longing for more, because I want to continue to increase in the knowledge and the wisdom that God has allowed, and also take on the responsibility, because once we learn and we're educated, it becomes a responsibility to take this out to others. So it's also a confident building place for me, which causes great satisfaction. Thank you for your declaration this morning. It's always for me on time, because it's like right where I am right now, examining the next part of this journey that's in front of me. So thank you so much, and you guys have a great Sunday.
Thank you, Misty. Amen. It's something, you know, not being satisfied is that I often believe is God's way of stirring up in us to move us towards purpose. Because, just like you said, Ms. D, if we're not satisfied with our learning and our knowing, then a lot of us are urged to go to school. Because we want to know more, and not only to know more for the knowledge sake, because knowledge puffs up and it just makes you have a big head, but in order to go out and teach what we've learned so that we can reach others through what we have learned and help, because we know it's been a help to us. And it's not for everyone, but for those who are called to it, he'll put the people that he's called us to in order to do what he's put in us to do. And that's the beauty of God. I love that. So I think a lot of times we have to be uncomfortable and not satisfied with living in mediocrity, living a life that we know that there's more to it. And we don't look at other people to say, well, if they're doing it, you know, I can. No, it's not that kind of covetous. It's just because our God is so great, and he's made us some great and exceeding promises, and they're for you. We're busy declaring and decreeing promises for everybody else's life. Have we declared and decreed some things in our lives? Oh, all right. That's my thought. Anybody else? Thank you, Ms. D.
I was trying to come off mute because I was like, wow, when you said that, ooh, that was one of them, not necessarily an ouch moment, but definitely an aha moment that made me think. Yeah, that I too agree with that statement, because I, you know, believe in God for a lot of things, for a lot of other people, and forget. Now I won't say forget. Mm-hmm. Maybe, and I'll just be real honest, maybe not really trusting that God is going to do that same thing for me, or kind of hesitant to ask, because it's like that fear factor is like, okay, don't ask him because he might give it to you, and you know you ain't ready, but that, like I say, that's in my own head, but like I know better. I know God has better things for me. I'm trusting and believing, and just getting ready to walk into some of those things that I'm trusting him for. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for being transparent, Bubbly. And I totally understand what you mean when you say that. My thought in my head, and it's nothing but a trick of the enemy, would make me think so many different things at different points in my life. So one thing, it would be like, okay, you hear all this preaching against the prosperity preachers and all that stuff. So now it swings you to the other point or the other end of the spectrum or the pendulum, making you think that it's not good for us to ask God for the things that we need, when he already knows what we need, but he says we have not because we ask not. And then if we're asking, we got to check our motives, because over in the book of James, he talks about you have not because you ask not, but when you do ask, you ask amiss. Your asking is off. It's not on purpose. It's not on my purpose. So therefore, you will not receive because you want to consume it on your own lust and your own pleasure. So I'm checking my own motive, but I'm just being very clear to not be so caught up in the trends, because, you know, trends and fads, they come and they go. And so one time it was all about grace, and one time it was all about prosperity, and another time it's all about whatever. But if we get in that relationship with God and we know his voice, because we are his children, his sheep, we can get in the point where the Holy Spirit is leading us to the extent of where he's taking us from where he needs us to go, from to where. To go from, to grow to, because he knows the plans, like someone said in their prayer, that he has for us. He also knows what we're going to face. He also knows who we're going to encounter, who we need to impact, and who we need to impart to. All along, while this is still happening to us, people imparting and impacting our lives as well. So in my mind, I'm thinking, like, you know, I can't ask God. He's too busy to be, you know, answering my prayers. And so what I was doing was kind of like, and then check this out. How many people don't ask God because they don't want him to not answer the way, well, I'll say I didn't ask God because I didn't want him to answer it contrary to what I was believing, so I thought according to his promise. So it was kind of like giving God an escape clause. God, if you don't deliver, you know, like the Hebrew boys, if you don't, it's not because you're not able. So is that really mixing faith, or is that giving God an escape in case he don't answer and he doesn't let that person live that I prayed for? So for me, reconciling the fact that I do not manipulate God with my prayers, that God's will is his will and that he's sovereign and he knows what he's doing. And oftentimes, we say it all the time, it don't make sense. Even when it looks like it's contrary to his word, but his word is so vast that we don't have an understanding. So who are we, like Job, to question God in that area of what he's doing except to get an understanding so that we can be okay? And if we don't get the understanding, knowing that he's still working it out together for our good, he's fighting on our behalf, he's working it out for us. I know I just said a lot as I'm thinking it out in my brain, but that's where I've been. So I'm not letting God off the hook. He don't need me to bail him out when he don't answer something in front of people so I don't make him look bad. Mm-mm.
Okay, Lisa, this is Erica.
Yes, ma'am.
You know, along those same lines, not exactly what you're talking about, but listening to Bubbly and then what you said after that, I think sometimes it's the lack of satisfaction of what we're doing for him. And I know you mentioned that. Like, are we satisfied with our sacrifice? Are we satisfied with the work that we're doing for him? And so sometimes it's easier to believe the word for other people because we don't know their stuff. We know our stuff. And so you know, we allow ourselves to talk us out of, or we allow the enemy to whisper to us, you know, why we shouldn't or why we're not worthy of having what he's already said we could have. So I know for me, a lot of times it's, you know, casting those thoughts and those conversations in my head down that, no, it's not just for them, it's for me too. But like you said, pressing and pushing for that satisfaction and for that more that we do in sacrifice for him.
Amen. That was excellent. Pressing and pushing. There's a, if we would really, for me, thinking about appointed times in the Bible, if we're not in proper position, we'll miss opportunities, right? So if the woman wasn't at the well at that appointed time when Jesus must need go through Samaria, if that woman with the issue of blood bleeding for so long was not able to press and sound like she was on her hands and knees through the crowd. It wasn't just a straight line. It wasn't just no opposition. The crowd can represent opposition, and it can represent obstacles, and it can represent the things we have to go through to get to Jesus, to get to our miracle, if you will, to get to our healing. But when we get there, she might have had one thing in mind, touching him, but she, as close as she could get, was the hem of his garment, his overflowing virtue, touching something that belongs to him. So what do we, who do we touch every day? Thank you, Lord, his people. His people belong to him. And how do we leave them after that encounter? Do they leave better? Or they left in a worse state than what they were in. So when she left after encountering Jesus and touching his hem, she got the overflowing virtue. She was not only healed but made whole. So we have to press. We have to believe God and take him at his word that if he says something, that it is absolutely for us. It is just as much as when preachers and teachers and talkers talk about being partakers first of the word and then being able to share it. Well, that normally is in a negative state, but aren't the same things true for the blessings of God, being partakers of the blessings of God and then being able to share that and tell somebody how, you know, this is what God did for me, and I'm not saying he's going to do it necessarily the same way for you, but just that you would have hope that our God is a deliverer, he is a healer, he is a way maker. And it wasn't because I was in mess or trouble necessarily at that point. It was the favor of God. It was because he had promised me something in my bosom a long time ago, and now I'm seeing the manifestation because I was found in faith. I didn't give up on the promise. I wavered, yes, because I'm human, but I believed God. That's where I want to be. Abraham staggered not at the promises of God, and he was made the father of many nations. Did he try to do some stuff to help it along? Yep, he did, he and his wife. Nevertheless, God's promise was fulfilled, and he was the father of many nations, which made Sarah the mother of many nations. We don't say that, but that's the absolute fact of the matter. Thank you, Erica. Anyone else? Amen. Well, hopefully this share just ignited something in you to want more of God. I don't care where you are. You could be at the bottom of the bottom. You could be at the top cream. I was going to say creme de la creme. You could be at the top of your walk with right now with God. I want to admonish you and encourage you to go deeper, to strive for more, to strive for higher, not the material aspects. Those will follow. The blessings of the Lord, they'll overtake us as we're walking according to his will, his way, his plan. But seeking for those things that we know we need to perfect in God, the fruit of the Spirit, letting that be the thing that leads us. If we're led by his Spirit, then there ought to be some fruit, and it should be his fruit. And we can examine it by knowing what his fruit is and seeing, are we seeing that manifested in our lives? Then we can believe God. If we can't believe God for what he has said concerning us, it's going to be really difficult for us to do what he said we can do. It's going to be hard for us to lay hands on the sick and see them recover. It's going to be hard for us to speak to mountains and command them to move out of our lives. It's going to be hard for us to lift ourselves up, if you will, and encourage ourselves in our most holy faith, speaking in tongues, believing that it's building us up to see the results so that we're not sinking into depression. It's going to be really hard to operate in faith, and that's what he wants us to do, operate in faith and experience the great and exceeding promises that he already laid out before us before the foundation of the world. All right, I could go on and on and on, but I am like, I just want everything. Every single thing, every gift that God has for me. And I recognize the important fact that the gift is not for me. It's for his body, and it's to give him glory. It's to bring him glory and honor. It's that souls will be reconciled back to him, that souls would be saved, that lives would be changed and impacted for the better, and then they would turn around and do that to someone else. Because that's what our God does. I love you all. Have a wonderful, wonderful day in service today, worshiping, and we'll talk tomorrow.
Amen, Sister Lisa. God bless you and your life and your day.
Amen. Thank you, sister.
Love you guys.
Bye-bye.
Love you all. Be blessed.
Love you all. Have a good day.
Amen.